At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be talking about, you know, is Christian nationalism inevitable? And we're also going to be talking about how God is judging liberalism. And this is not just an American phenomenon. It's a global phenomenon, but it is most encapsulated by some recent events at the Democrat convention that we're going to cover in more detail. This is also an ongoing debate between, you know, people who more identify as Christian nationalists and people who more identify as abortion abolitionists. Now, I believe that there's a huge overlap in the camp, you know, because I would consider myself an abortion abolitionist. I believe that we should abolish abortion. I believe that it should be criminalized. However, I disagree on a lot of the tactics of a lot more renowned abolitionists, which is what is going to be brought up in today's video. But first, I want to let you know Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. You can support our efforts over at evangelicaldarkweb.org/join. However, that's all linked in the description below. The least you can do is like this video and subscribe to the channel. But we also got something else. Winning That Winsome, 10 Commandments of Spiritual Warfare, is out on Kindle ebook, and you can pre-order the paperback. I do got some paperbacks if you want to become a Patreon-like subscriber. There's a couple tiers that will get you that book, and I will be getting those out to those who are. But anyway, like and subscribe, at least you can do. So let's get to some of the tweets that kind of set this whole thing off. Andrew Torba's definitely raised a lot of the controversy because he pointed out they have at the DNC, they have, you know, vasectomies and they're, you know, handing out pills to kill babies at the DNC. A lot of stuff going on there. Pretty evil. And Andrew Torba tweeted out, our enemies are snipping their balls and ending their bloodlines in the back of an RV outside the DNC and you're blackpilling. And that is a very white pill attitude about something that's pretty dark. And there is something, I guess a silver lining that Andrew Torba's pointing out here. These people are destroying themselves. Liberalism is destroying itself. It is destroying everything that it's touching, and it's not sustainable. This is not sustainable. You know, them killing their own, them cutting off their bloodlines is not sustainable. You know, a lot of talk about environmental sustainability. This is not politically sustainable, and the Democrats are going full bore into population decline, except with immigration. They want to replace the American native population with foreign immigrants. That is the coherence of the Democrat Party. And I tweeted this out in response to Andrew Torba. I said there's a long-term strategy here, as grim as it may be. And to me, the point's about perseverance. Now, some people don't want to make it about perseverance. I'm not necessarily taking joy in it, although there is somewhat of an argument to take joy in it. Like, I don't read the Bible, specifically the death of Jezebel and her family, and think that, hey, that wasn't an awesome event orchestrated by God. I don't know. You know, how should we view the judgment of our enemies? Of God's enemies in this case. You know, shouldn't we be praying imprecatory prayers? You know, just like David does? Just like the Psalms teach us to? There's a lot of questions to explore with this topic. And in my book, I talk about thou shalt not be nicer than God. I talk a lot about that. And that's one reason to buy the book. So, the other thing that's actually in the chapter after that is, you know, going on the offensive. You know, what should we be doing to build a more Christian society? Is Christian nationalism inevitable with this trajectory? And the answer is maybe. The answer is a solid maybe, you know. And what is inevitable is the downfall of liberalism. Liberalism is going to crash. It is going to crumble. But Christian nationalism, it might be able to take its place in due time. And that is what we need to be doing. That is what we need to be preparing for. And with faithful obedience, you know, to the dominion mandate, if we divest and build, which I talk about in my book, we can actually be there to fill the vacuum of the collapse of liberalism. I do believe that this will collapse. So one thing I want to point out is the difference between strategy and tactics. My favorite example of this at the moment, because I watch a lot of history videos, and as of late, this summer, I've definitely been American Revolution maxing. I've definitely been doing that. And George Washington is a very fascinating figure to me. He's not very good as a tactician, and that is completely different than how he was as a strategist. General Howe never lost a single battle against George Washington. Never lost a single battle. But General Howe wanted out of the Americas because he did not believe he could win the war. The British did not have a strategy to defeat the American Revolution. They didn't have a strategy. They thought that they could take, the Battle of Saratoga was fought because they thought if they controlled the Hudson Valley, that would somehow enable them to control Massachusetts. And that was an asinine idea at the time, and then it worked out disastrously for them. The Battle of Saratoga did. You know, it was a disaster for them. But meanwhile, they also thought, hey, if we capture Philadelphia, America's capital, that'll discredit the entire revolution. And that didn't happen either. George Washington made a lot of tactical errors at this point. And his biggest victories, you know, in Boston, but then he was in New York, had a lot of tactical blunders and mishaps there, and retreated from New York. And then in Philadelphia, he also had some not fun times. But before that, before he went to Philadelphia and that campaign, he was able to attack garrisons at Trenton and Princeton. So George Washington successfully, avoided pitched battle. He did a Fabian tactic. Because ultimately, the strategy of avoiding pitched battle, the Fabian strategy, not a tactic, he employed a Fabian strategy against the British and then outlasted them. The American Revolution prevailed because of strategy over tactics. Having a long-term strategy. We're not trying to force the pivotal engagement on their terms. We're trying to draw out the conflict because the British don't have the resources to subdue the continent, and we're not going to, lose in pitched battle. So we have to understand tactics versus strategy, and that's what's going on here. If we can plug the immigration gap, the demographic decline of the liberals will inevitably lead to their downfall in the political arena. They won't have the leverage to impose their will on Christians. Now, there's a couple things we have to do for that, for this strategy. First of all, we have to plug the immigration gap. We have to plug that leak. Stop the flood. Mass deportations, obviously a huge part of that. The other part of that is we need to disciple our kids. We need to make kids and disciple our kids. That's a huge part of this strategy. Demographic warfare, but in the long term. Like, I don't even know what generation of warfare this is. I mean, it goes back to antiquity, the idea that, you know, you saw that in the book of Joshua. They definitely practiced, you know, a form of demographic warfare. But they're destroying themselves. And this is the judgment of God. And I make this point to someone else who kind of objected to my comments. Because James Silverman, I like him. I've talked to him before. He disagrees with me. He says major L. Yes, a lot of babies. Yes, have lots of babies and fill the earth. But championing abortion in this way, shape, and form will result in social destruction and national judgment. Not just doing a strategy for those doing it, but these approving, but for those approving it of it as any part of a strategy. And it's like, it's not like I'm approving of abortion. I don't approve of abortion. I do believe it's criminal and it should be criminalized, but you know, and some people thought that that was slanderous. I'm not going to demand an apology from, James Silverman for this, because I understand his position. But I'm not, you know, I say as grim as it may be, because this is, you know, a pretty morbid strategy at the end of the day. It is, but it's the best strategy we kind of have at this point. Liberalism is inevitably going to destroy itself, and Christians can demographically overtake them. Christians are called to persevere, and it's inevitable. Now, to me, another thing to point out is this is the judgment of God. So a lot of abolitionists are kind of saying, if we do this, we're going to invite the, you know, God is not going to reward this effort. And the idea that God judging nations. Yes, God still judges nations. This demographic decline is the judgment. Whereas Satan tries to do the same thing over and over again. Now, we invent evil, but, you know, by and large, same playbook is what Satan runs over and over and over again. God has new ways to judge his creation. You know, at times it's been a plague. At times it's been an invasion. In this case, handing us over to our own devices and letting a demographic collapse happen, letting the population decline from its own sinfulness, and letting a society experience the penalty for their sin and the consequences thereof. This is the judgment of God. The idea of populations collapsing, this is God's judgment. As Christians, I think, you know, again, I think we have hope during this time of judgment. And we need to be faithful. But there's reason for optimism after a long road of faithfulness. I think there's reason for optimism. It's not going to be in the next 4 years. I'm not convinced this is a very important election, but man, is it going to be bad if Kamala Harris, who's not really an American, wins the United States presidency. That's going to be pretty bad. But I also don't think Trump is competent enough to save America. What can ultimately, I don't know about saving America. We might not have an America by the time this demographic collapse realizes its consequences. But ultimately, we need to be doing faithful work in the meantime. Liberalism is going to collapse. It is inevitable. And I look forward to that. So anyway, that's all I got to say about that for now. My name is Ray, the Evangelical Dark Web. If you like this kind of content, subscribe if you're new. Have a blessed day. Stay based. Christ is King. And we will catch you on the next one.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.